I'm one of six people who was arrested for terrorism for breaking into an Israeli weapons factory. And despite having been made to go through two completely rigged trials, I have been acquitted of all of the charges against me.
Along with five other activists, I broke into an Israeli weapons factory, and despite the state's best effort, I was acquitted on all charges.
Fatma Zeynep turned 20 the day before her arrest on 5th of August. It was actually 2 weeks before I heard anything from her after the police came in on that Wednesday morning on the 7th of August. But I did hear from Palestine Action shortly after, who told me that Fatma Zeynep was arrested in the early hours of 6th of August.
There had been hundreds of actions with Palestine Action, and many of those actions had resulted in charges being dropped, in cases not even being brought to court. And a big reason for that was the fact that Elbit Systems didn't want the truth about the weapons they were manufacturing to come out in a court of law.
Elbit Systems Research and Development, their whole purpose is to be more efficient at killing the people of Gaza.
They make Thor drones and Magni X drones, both of which use AI to pick out targets, which tend to be civilians. And the Thor drones can actually kill people. They can drop grenades. They can shoot square pellets.
They know what they're doing is a horrific thing. And if we get the opportunity to ask them about it in court, their whole case falls apart.
The injustices that led to the first trial actually stood out for me. The secret meetings with Elbit and the Israeli embassy.
It later came out that the Home Office had shared the details of the CPS with the Israeli embassy while we were still under investigation.
They are aiming to get Palestine Action prescribed before this action. So whatever the next action was that we did, they were waiting for it.
It actually stinks of corruption here.
It's purely to do with stopping direct action to stop the supply of weapons because it's effective and our government is against it.
Fatma Zeynep was on remand for a good 18 months before she actually had her trial. And this is three times the legal custody time limit that unconvicted prisoners, according to the law, should be held in for.
Because the six of us had the terrorism connection hanging over our heads, that meant that our security was managed by the terrorism section of the prison rather than the ordinary security. So there were book bans, withheld mail, my phone calls were threatened to be taken off.
There even came a point where they couldn't even be in the visits hall together at the same time, and therefore the visits were reduced because of this.
The whole point of counter-terror laws in this country is that they're used to override human rights.
On top of that, because Fatma Zeynep is visibly a Muslim who wears the hijab, there was a lot of Islamophobia that we've faced as well.
Members of Parliament and the Home Office came out and prejudiced our trial.
The Prime Minister himself in Parliament prejudicing the case, and we had the then Home Secretary also being advised against the CPS to speak out, but doing so regardless.
We were charged with aggravated burglary, violent disorder and criminal damage.
The first time I saw Judge Johnson in action was at a pre-trial hearing, which was way before their trial started in November 2025.
He removed our defences and stopped that from being reported on, despite the fact he hadn't heard any evidence whatsoever. And he added a terrorism connection and prevented that from being talked about as well.
And because of the withdrawal of defences, we are not able to access Elbit's information for disclosure.
We had expert evidence statements about what Elbit was doing. We had plenty of evidence that they are exporting weapons to Israel and that this is breaking the law and exactly how these weapons contribute to the genocide. But none of that was allowed to be put in front of the jury.
They thought they could rely on Elbit's security as witnesses, and their credibility was so bad during that trial that even the prosecution examining them proved them to be so inconsistent and incredible that they weren't brought back for the second trial.
Albert's role in this entire trial was to withhold evidence, not produce it. There was so many incidences of missing footage, which we should have had, and it magically disappeared, most likely because what was actually happening in those cameras was violence from security rather than any damage to weapons.
This tech giant specializing in surveillance isn't able to find their passwords for their main flagship security cameras. It's just, like, you find your own opinions on that, but I think it's ridiculous.
In spite of their every single effort that they put into place, the jury acquitted them of their most serious charges of aggravated burglary and violent disorder and failed to find them guilty of criminal damage. What a slap on the face for the CPS, for Justice Johnson, that was.
Our magnificent barrister leading the case, Rajiv Menon KC, was pursued with contempt of court for his amazing closing speech.
Never in British history have I read or heard anywhere that a barrister has been prosecuted for his closing speech.
It's just kind of seeming like it's personal from the judge at this point.
Despite the fact that a retrial was not in the public interest whatsoever, the prosecution decided to announce that they were going to try us again on social media, which is unprecedented.
The CPS was desperate to get any convictions whatsoever.
The judge has so kindly removed violent disorder from everyone, but that comes with the caveat of not being able to talk about motivation in any capacity.
What strikes me as really unfair here is that everyone who stands trial in British law is allowed to explain to the jury why they did what they did. And Fatma Zainab and her co-defendants were barred from doing that.
We can't talk about Gaza. We couldn't talk about what these drones are used for. We can't talk about Elbit.
One of our barristers stood up in court and said that the ruling was as if the court wanted us to go up on the stand, say our names, confess, and then go sit back down.
The barristers saw what happened to Rajiv in the first trial and how their career was at stake if they were to mention anything that the judge had prohibited them from doing so.
So at the end of this trial, we've had to fire our barristers and make our own closing speeches.
Both me and Jordan went up on the stand and said we damaged property. He said it was an honour. I said it was the best thing I'd ever done. And they didn't convict us, but they did convict four other people. And I think a big reason why that happened is because there was so much pressure put on them.
I am glad that Zoe and Jordan did get acquitted, but that should have been the verdict for all of them. However, any and all blame rests on Judge Johnson.
They were not given a legal avenue. The judge essentially directed them to convict.
The gravest injustice of all of this was that, you know, the judge made it appear to the jury that they're being tried for criminal damage, and they were not aware that any conviction on criminal damage is then going to allow the judge to sentence them as terrorists.
This is the same thing Zara Sultana was speaking about in Parliament, using her parliamentary privilege.
If convicted, they and 18 others will be sentenced as terrorists, but the jury will not be told that.
We have been silenced on this for obviously over a year.
And what that will mean is that they will spend years in prison. They will have to face a parole board where they'll be expected to denounce their views.
After they've finished their sentence or license, they'll have 10 to 30 years where they'll be on notice to the police.
And if any of them so much as forget to declare a new email address, they could be sent back to prison for another 5 years.
On Friday, 12th of June, is when Fatma Zainab, Ellie, Lottie and Sam will be sentenced. Essentially, They're being called terrorists for trying to save lives.
Please come down to London if you can, Woolwich Crown Court. And if you can't, please try and fund somebody else's travel.
And I say this sincerely with all my heart. If you know someone in your family, if you have a child, if you have a grandchild who is kind, who is compassionate, who cares about the environment, who cares about babies being killed, who cares about the lives of others, you need to be out there on the 12th. Because if this comes to pass, it could be someone you love next being sentenced as a terrorist because we allowed this to happen.
What Palestinians are going through as a result of this country's actions are so much worse. And we have to refuse to be intimidated, and we have to continue to do our best to stop the supply of weapons to Israel.
I think if the world was with more people like this, it just would be a tolerable place.
We've come together as friends and family whose loved ones have been in prison, have been targeted by the government, by the CPS, for standing on the right side of history, for trying to stop arms being sent to Israel to commit a genocide. And we all stand by our loved ones.
It's not scared me. All it's done is make me want to change a lot more about the world. And that is what I see myself doing for the rest of my life.